The Fan on Demand. The Soccer Show with Nigel Reed and Bob Irusha on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
A very good evening. I'm Nigel Reed.
And I'm Bob Irusha.
And this is The Soccer Show on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590, and Setanta Sports Canada. Tonight, another new broom. The Whitecaps have already named their head coach for 2012. We'll chat to Martin Rennie about his new role in MLS. Also tonight, young, gifted and red, we'll talk to TFC's new striker, Perry Marosevic, about his switch to Toronto and facing his old pals in the Champions League. And later, the Millionaires kick off again this weekend, a sneak peek at the new EPL action season about to get cracking. All that and more, plus your opinion this week, right here on The Soccer Show. You're sure that's how it's pronounced, are you?
Marosevic, I would bet on it.
Not Marosevic.
No, Marosevic. I think that's how it's pronounced.
You sound pretty sure.
Well, I've been around the Croatian community a long time, Nigel. So,
well, we'll talk to him about 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
I could be wrong, but I doubt it.
First question to Perry Marosevic is, yes. So Perry, how do you pronounce your surname? That's going to be the first question. We'll get the definitive...
Try and get him to pronounce mine.
Definitive answer. Yeah. Most people get it wrong.
Well...
I don't. I hope you know I make an effort.
Well, I hope you've done your homework then.
I most certainly have. Yerushi.
Yerushi.
Yerushi. Not Ayerushi.
No, not I.
Ayerushi. No. And not Ichikream.
No,
Ichikream. And no Ian Miller.
Ian Miller.
It was on the TV again.
I love that show.
Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you call me and say, I'm sitting down to watch My Big Fat Greek Wedding again, and I'd have been around like a shot. We could have had a beer and I'd have laughed together.
One of the better movies over the last 10 years.
Wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love it. I'd watch it over and over if I could.
We were having a laugh. And it's the kind of movie that was of its time, and it's the kind of movie that you can't make a sequel to.
Very difficult.
Isn't it?
Yeah, no, they got it all out in the original. It's very difficult. They tried, right? They went on TV, but it didn't do very well.
They went on TV?
Yeah, they did. They really? Made a serial out of it. They tried to make a sitcom out of it, but it didn't work. Nah. It's no work. Dry toast.
Dry. Like working with me. Yeah. Like working with me.
Like working with Nigel.
Nigel
Reed.
Yeah. It's like...
You like dry toast,
dry
Nigel.
Toast. Yeah. But at the end, we all fruit.
We all fruit.
We all fruit.
Let's move on.
We'd love you to join the conversation, by the way. If you'd like to submit your favorite movie of all time, then what better place than to do it here? Here's the email address, nigel@fan590.com, nigel@fan590.com, or you can tweet me, @Nigel_Reed. And here is this week's first email. And it goes like this. Mm-hmm. I've just watched your The Soccer Show for the first time and found it to be the most boring show I've ever seen. You concentrate on Canada's soccer team, who are just as boring. Your show is called The Soccer Show. Why don't you include info on worldwide soccer teams? Make it interesting. If you're only going to cover Canada's efforts, change the name of the show to Boring. I am an avid soccer fan, but as I said, this was my first time viewing. It will be my last. Signed, Barbara McCrindle. Barbara, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Really sorry.
Well, it's fans like Barbara that have made the sport go around in this country. Congratulations, Barbara.
Well,
keep it up.
You know what? She's kind of ruined the plot for today's show because we were going to talk about Canadian soccer. We were going to talk to the
don't
new.
Do that.
We were
going
to talk. We were going to talk to the new Caps, White Caps coach.
Right.
We were going to talk to Toronto FC's new striker.
Right.
We were going to talk about Canada's upcoming World Cup qualifying campaign, but now we can't.
I just like to say something. It's really because of the interest in all these teams across the ocean from so-called soccer fans in Canada that have really, you know, put us in the position we're in my opinion. Because if some of these people who love the game of soccer would only put it back under, you know, Canadian themes and supporting Canadian teams and making the game better in this country, then perhaps one day we might be, you know, better than 105 in the world.
You know
what?
I think
that's the point.
You know what? I think you may be onto something.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another thing. We can talk about Canadian soccer because, as Barbara said in her email, she won't be watching.
No, she won't, no.
So we can probably get away with it.
Well, it's too bad because I'd like to have tried to convert Barbara.
Barbara, come back. All is forgiven.
Please, Barbara,
please.
Come back.
We need every pair of ears we can get.
Yeah.
We've only got four men and a dog and a cat in Vancouver. And you know what radio is all about, really, don't you? Other than making money. It's all about demographic. It's one of those words that people know but don't really understand. It's all about demographic. And every radio program on every radio station is supposed to appeal to a particular demographic.
We've been on for 5 years. We must be hitting the right demographic. Right?
Either that or nobody's listening.
Well.
And nobody's paying attention.
We're still
I think
here.
That's what it is.
Yeah, maybe.
5 years next week. By the way, not many emails from last week's show regarding who's going to bake the cake.
No.
The anniversary cake. In fact, I have to say, not one. Which just goes to show that not only do we not have women listeners like Barbara, who is not watching this week, but there are no bakers listening either. So if there are any bakers out there, email the show or tweet me at Nigel_Reed and tell us about how you're going to bake the fifth anniversary cake, which we need in this studio a week today. It's the end of that. Talking of tweets, they trickle in from time to time. Dave was listening to last week's show, and I hope he's listening and perhaps watching this week's show. He said, you said on last week's show, that Yerushi, quote, should have been there in regards to the World Cup 1986. Is there a story there? Says Dave, thanks, love the show. Well, yeah, there's a story. Here's the man to tell it.
Well, I mean, I'll tell it very quickly. I was captain of the team in 83. We played a three-game series against Scotland the summer of 83, actually more towards the fall. And the first two games, Vancouver-Edmonton, we played the third game. We're supposed to play in Toronto. And I got called the night before the game from the New York Cosmos, who wanted me for the playoff game, and went to Tony Waiters and made it known that my club wanted me to come back. I mean, they really forced me to come back under contract. And I had played the first two games, and Waiters basically told me, if you leave now, don't expect to come back. And to his credit, he never called me back. And the team went on to qualify for the World Cup, which, you know, was great for Canada, but it was too bad for me. So that's really the story. And I don't really want to elaborate more than that, but, you know, you make decisions in life and you live by them, Nigel.
So there you are, Dave. There's the story from the horse's mouth. And to be fair, the Cosmos were presumably paying her wages at the time.
They were, yeah. It was a tough decision, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if I have stayed with the national team for that last game, I'm sure that the Cosmos would not have been happy. I would have lost my place. I wouldn't have played in the playoffs. Ruined contractual talks going forward, et cetera, et cetera. But you know, once again, it's these are decisions you have to make, and you have to make them quickly.
Do you ever, in a quiet moment, in the man cave, think about it and think, did I really make the right decision?
Of course. You know, I would have loved to have been on that team. Loved to have been part of the experience of Canada's only, you know, appearance at the World Cup. Of course. Yeah. It was a big miss for me in my career, for sure.
So now with the benefit of time, did you make the right decision?
I don't know. I'd have to say no. You can't go back, you know.
No, I know.
And I don't want to speculate whether I did or didn't.
And as you said, you don't want to talk about
it. No, I
don't
want to talk more about it.
We'll move on.
We'll
move on sort of, you know, a generation. We've had our friends at Red Nation Online got in touch today. And there is, as you know, the new series of World Cup qualifying coming around very soon. We spoke to Stephen Hart about it on the show. Was it last week? I believe
yes,
it might
last week, yeah.
And finally, I don't know whether you've seen the moving by the Canadian Soccer Association this week, but I think they finally got it. They're reaching out to schools. They're reaching out to youth clubs. They're putting packages together. They're saying, come on, come and paint the stadium red. Our friends from Red Nation Online, by the way, are jumping on board with the campaign, and they would like me to mention a hashtag, which I'm happy to do. I'm sure you've seen it if you are a fan of Canadian soccer. Hashtag cheer for Canada. Cheer for Canada. Get on board. You can get your ticket packages. They're very affordable. There's going to be a lot of school children. There's going to be Canadian soccer fans, perhaps fans watching a soccer match for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And to their credit, and they get a lot of flack, Bob, the CSA have obviously listened to the fans and said, yep, you know what, there is another way of selling tickets, of publicizing this event, word of mouth, by getting it out to the schools, by getting it out to the very large, you know, youth soccer clubs, and getting them, bustling them in en masse.
It should be a priority. It has to be.
Of course.
We need to get Canadian soccer fans to the stadium when the national team plays, no matter what occasion. It should be a priority for all of those youth players to wear red and support their country. It's the way it should be. And the CSA should be more proactive in doing so. And they should be criticized for not have concentrated on it in the past. But if they are initiating something now, let's get behind it and join the Red Patch Boys and the Canadian soccer news for promoting our national team. Absolutely.
I mean, there is always the hardcore. They'll always be there. But there aren't 20,000 of them. That's the problem.
No, it is a problem.
You know. And if it's a problem of numbers, then that's fine. But this is really an opportunity, you know, in the next couple of months for, you know, families to come out and really, you know, wave the flag and give these players all the things that generations of Canadian internationals have never had, you included. You know, the feeling that we're at home and it feels good to step over the white line.
Well, we have a perfect example now in Toronto with Brett Laurie, who is the rookie with the Blue Jays, and he hit a dramatic home run yesterday. Mm-hmm. A boy from BC playing in Toronto in the major leagues said it was the most exciting moment of his life with all of the Canadian fans behind him, the Canadian media. Indirectly, that helps baseball in Canada. The same thing will hold true in Canada for soccer if fans who love the sport of soccer come out and support their national team. It's something you don't believe will happen, but you have to participate to give it a chance. And I think that's what we're saying.
And
give these guys a chance to feel proud about wearing red and representing their country in front of their home fans.
And there is now time to get out there, make it a priority. You know when the games are. If you don't, get yourself informed. Go on the CSA website, all the soccer websites are publicizing these games. Everybody's on the same page. There's no, you know, mine, your mentality. So we will talk about these games as the weeks get closer to the qualifiers. But there are three home qualifiers. Hopefully there will be, as we mentioned to Stephen Hart on the show last week, 22 games in the next 27 months. Not all, and half of them will be home games. They will be, I'm sure, spread around the country as time progresses. Nigel says, Dave Cook, just wanted to let you know that you can add another listener to the list. That's excellent.
Great.
I need more than one hand now. Is that six? I can't listen to the show live as I'm putting the little ones to bed. I always go to fan590.com on Friday mornings to listen to the previous night's broadcast. I think you should continue to have someone in for the entire show. It was great to hear Terry Dunfield's experiences, and I've enjoyed other guests in the past. Keep up the good work. I'll continue to listen on Friday mornings. David, bless you. Barbara, come back. We're going to talk to a couple of very important people very soon when the soccer show continues on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590, and Satanta Sports Canada.
The Soccer Show with Nigel Reed and Bobby Rushi on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
So it's up to you. You can join the conversation whenever you want. Here's the email address, nigel@fan590.com. nigel@fan590.com. And if you want to tell us our show is boring and you're never, ever, ever wasting another hour of your life listening to us talking about the first thing that falls out of our mouth, then that's fine too. Or you can email us and tell us you quite like the show. That's allowed as well. Or you can tweet us at Nigel_Reed. Talking of tweet, don't forget that hashtag to cheer for Canada. And that's exactly what it is. Hashtag cheer for Canada. If you're hooked into Twitter, get your tickets, get down there and let us support Canada. Let us do our bit. Never mind the players, can't do anything about them, can't do anything about the coach, but the fans, well, we need to do our bit to try and move this juggernaut along at least to the next round and maybe to the hex. And as we mentioned on the show only last week, for the first time since 1997, that's it, folks. That's 15 years?
Mm-hmm. 14.
Yeah, well, by next year, it'll be 15. By the time the hex comes around, it'll probably be 16. There we are. Hashtag cheer for Canada. Busy 24 hours of coaching appointments around these parts. Montreal Impact have introduced their new head coach because the Impact come into MLS in 2012. Jesse Marsh, longtime MLS player, won the MLS Cup a few times in the US Open Cup, and since retiring, was Bob Bradley's assistant on the US national team. Whether or not he makes the transition from assistant to head coach, of course, that's the $64 million question. But I'll tell you something, he knows MLS better than most.
Well, you know, there have been those who know MLS that have been fired and those who don't know MLS that have done well and those who think that they know MLS that haven't done as well, Nigel. Coaching is a difficult profession, and I'm very interested to hear what our next guest has to say with regards to the coaching profession.
So let's talk to our next guest, who is currently employed by the Carolina Railhawks, who are a very good team.
Yes.
And they have been for a number of years.
Play some good football.
And part of the reason that the Carolina Railhawks are a good team is because Martin Rennie's in charge and will be for the remainder of the season. Why are we interested in the Carolina Railhawks, I hear you cry? Well, because Martin Rennie is going to leave them at the end of the year, and he's going to take over as head coach of the Vancouver Whitecaps in 2012. He is a Scotsman. I'll warn you before we start. Martin, welcome to the Socken Show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's our great pleasure. You've been a busy man over the last 24 hours. You've probably done countless radio interviews, so we'll try and think of something original to ask you. Like, who do you really support? Who did you grow up following?
Well, I grew up supporting my local team, which was Falkirk.
And I was Falkirk.
A ball boy for them when I was a kid, yeah, and followed them a lot and still do.
Still follow them?
Yeah, to some extent. I look out for the results and I'm always interested in how they're doing. They've kind of, ever since I've supported them, they've been a team that's kind of gone up from the First Division and into the Premier League and then slowly but surely back down to the First Division. And right now they're trying to work their way back up again.
Well, that's soccer for you. You see, you've got to be a fan. You've got to go through the thick and thin.
That's right.
Now, I know that you knew about the Vancouver Whitecaps many, many years ago, long before you came to North America.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Even growing up in Scotland, I'd heard of the Vancouver Whitecaps, and I don't know if I'd ever heard of any other. Maybe the Cosmos, I'd maybe heard of them, but Vancouver Whitecaps was one team that I did remember growing up, yep.
In the great Peter Beardsley era, I would imagine.
That's right, yeah. Peter Beardsley was obviously by then a pretty big star in British football and English football, and part of his bio was that he played for the Vancouver Whitecaps, so I was always pretty interested to find out what that was and who that was.
So now, a little bit of digging here. Obviously, you've had quite a bit of success over the last 3 or 4 years coaching in North America, but there are more strings to your bow, Martin, because your background is not necessarily in soccer. I understand it's more in business, and I think that factors into the way you actually go about your job in football management. Tell us more.
Yeah, so when I started playing professionally, when I was quite young, I tore my ACL and I did my knee pretty badly. And I had surgery and I did come back, but it took me a couple of years to come back and I struggled with injuries. And I got the chance to work for a pharmaceutical company and then play semi-professional football or semi-professional soccer. And the level of that was still pretty high. It allowed me to get paid extra, allowed me to really have fun with it and train hard. but I only maybe trained three nights a week and played at the weekends. And basically, I started learning about business, about goal setting, about communication, about, you know, motivation, and all sorts of things that can actually have turned out to be very useful for coaching. And as I was doing those things, I thought to myself, you know, I really do want to coach. I really want to stay involved in soccer. I want to be involved in it full-time again. So I kind of put a plan together, which was to retire from, at this point, it was the software, computer software industry, so I worked in two industries. My plan was to retire by the age of 30 and start coaching. So while I was working in the software industry, I started getting all my coaching qualifications. I worked from the very lowest certificates on the course and worked my way up over the course of about 5 years. I got to my UEFA A license, and then I actually came over to North America. And the first job I took was actually with the Cascade Surge in Oregon, which was a PDL team.
And so there you are. There's your answer, Bob. Now, of course, Martin, you may not know, but Yerusha here used to play for the Cosmos when they were a pretty damn good team, along with, I don't know, players like Pelé and Beckenbauer. So I'm interested to hear this conversation.
Well, Martin, first of all, congratulations on your appointment with the Vancouver Whitecaps. We were saying before you came on the air how difficult the coaching profession is here in Toronto. We're on our sixth coach in 5 years, and things have not worked out for the coaches that have been here. And currently, they have this Dutch connection that talk about style of play and 4-3-3 systems. And sometimes that's a little disconcerting, especially for me, because I almost think that certain coaches think that the formation is more important than the content. I'm very interested to hear what your building blocks of success are. What is it in that interview with Bob Linarduzzi that turned their crank on Martin Rennie? Why are you going to be successful?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great question, and I don't think there's probably one simple answer to that question, but the things that I think have helped so far are, first of all, we try to create an environment which allows people to succeed or encourages people to succeed. When I grew up playing soccer, most of the time the feedback I had was harsh and negative and downgraded most of the time. And it was kind of like the strongest survived, and if you had enough of a thick skin, you kind of made it. And I saw a lot of good players, a lot of very talented people not really fulfill their potential. And part of what I like to try and do is build people's confidence up and try and focus on what they're good at. Encourage them in that, obviously work on their weaknesses to help them improve upon it. But rather than tell them they're not good at it, just say, hey, here's something we can get better at. And so that's one thing. I hope that the players that I work with really enjoy coming to work and really feel confident as they possibly can, maybe more confident than they ever have before. Because I think that succeeding in sports has a lot to do with confidence. And I think especially in North America, where there's a lot of parity between the players and the teams and the leagues, that confidence can really give you an important edge. So that's one thing.
Martin, go ahead. Go ahead, finish off. I'm sorry.
Well, I think in terms of actual style of play, I agree with you. I think your kind of style and philosophy are more important than saying, okay, we play a rigid 4-3-3 or we play a rigid 4-4-2 or 3-5-2, because the game's evolved a lot. And generally what we look to do is, in a certain, you know, at certain types of the game, we might be in a 4-4-2 system, we might be in a 4-2-4 if we're really attacking a team. If we're maybe looking to hit a team on a counter-attack, then we work maybe out of a 4-5-1 or a 4-3-3. So it changes based on how the game's going and based on where you are at that point in time. So I think just saying a formation, it doesn't really tell the whole story.
And Martin, I couldn't agree with you more. I also want to lead you to today's successes out there, and they seem to be more man managers than they are blackboard operators. So I'm talking about Mourinho, Ferguson, Arsene Wenger, and even Carlo Ancelotti. They're more, they're good with the group. They, as you said, they create an atmosphere for players to succeed, and especially someone like Alex Ferguson, who's been doing it for over 25 years. I mean, he has a handle on knowing his players and treating everybody actually not the same, but differently.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things I learned in business as well. You know, someone taught me that, hey, if you find someone who's a really high performer, then treat them a little bit differently from someone who's not really a high performer. And I know that kind of flies in the face of what most people tell you, oh, treat everybody the same, be uniform with everybody. But in actual fact, I think that's probably good advice. If you find people who really can make a massive difference to your team and to your club, then you have to figure out how to make them tick and how to make it work for them. And, you know, I've got quite a lot of ideas of how Ferguson did that with someone like Eric Cantona, and that was different to how he would have done that for another type of player. And it was successful for him, and he's done that over the years. And the thing that's interesting about that is there's not one book you can read to learn how to do it. There's not one philosophy or management style or model to do that. I think a lot of it is about listening and understanding where people are coming from and then trying to help them in their life rather than just their soccer career, and not using them just for your benefit, but try and help them understand that you care that they do well. And so, once they believe that, then I think they'll do better for you anyway.
So final question to you, Martin. As you say, you're big on building confidence of players and allowing them to express themselves and being as good as they can be. Of course, this is a huge challenge for you now. So who tells you that Martin Rennie is good and can build your confidence, because you haven't coached in MLS before and we've seen Europeans come over and frankly fail at this level?
Yeah, no, I think that's an excellent point. And I think that confidence is something that you have to build within yourself. If you're very confident within yourself and you've got some reason to have that confidence, then when outside criticism comes or when a bad result comes or bad results come, then it doesn't shake your confidence and kill you. And so you have to have something a little bit more than just other people telling you you're good or reading your own publicity. There has to be something inside your own mind that understands how your mind works. Your mind is often going to flip to the side of negative and fear and worry. And you have to manage that and make sure that it stays strong. And at the same time, you have to have good people around you who will be positive, who will encourage you, whether it be family or even sometimes having a sports psychologist who works with you as much as with, or more so than with the team. Those things are all important. And I think what happens in your mind is your brain basically learns from the past. And so at a moment like this, my brain will say, well, nobody really thought you could come to North America and coach well in the PDL because you didn't know the league and you didn't know the players and everything else, and no one thought you could go to an expansion team in Cleveland with no money and with no stadium and with no training facilities and colors or mascot and have a team that won a championship and never lost a game at home. And nobody thought you could go to Carolina to a team where they'd never finished above eighth and turn that team into a team that's challenging for honors and is at the top of the league. So that's how your mind has to work. You have to think about the things that you've been able to have success in before and use that to strive, you know, to push you on, because no doubt this is a major challenge and it's different, but it is a next step and it is similar in some ways because I have to prove it just like I did with all these other opportunities.
Yeah, you did. Martin, we're going to have to cut it short. It's fascinating talking to you. I hope we have another chance to do so. Wish you the best of luck for the rest of the year with Carolina and look forward to welcoming you to Canada and Vancouver very soon. That's Martin Rennie, the 2012 coach of the Vancouver Whitecaps FC. And this is The Soccer Show on Toronto's Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590 and Citadel Sports Canada.
Make your friends weep with envy. Win wicked prizes inside the fan club. Join today at fan590.com. The Soccer Show with Nigel Reed and Bobby Roushi on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
So it was bound to happen, wasn't it? I mean, it was absolutely bound to happen. I was that tempted to go down to my local bookmaker, and I honestly don't know where my local bookmaker is because I'm not a betting man, but if I was, I was having a chat with somebody earlier in the day, and TFC, your old stomping ground at RFK Stadium, now led, of course, by a certain Canadian by the name of Dwayne De Rosario, and somebody said to me, it's not going to be a factor. I said, you're kidding.
Wow. D-Rose revenge.
I said, if he doesn't get at least an assist, I'll be surprised. I said, I can see him scoring at least one. Well, we know what happened now, don't we? He scored three. And it finished all square, 3-3. Point apiece. D-Rose player of the week again. Funny how that happens, isn't it? Bob?
Yes and no. No, because TFC are the worst defensive team in the league. They've let in 46 goals,
ouch,
which are 10 more than the next worst team, which is Vancouver, that have let in 36. I think this is just a terrible stat. Mm. And I said at the end of the last week's show that where the team should be reinforcing themselves is at the back. And hopefully Paul Mariner will have that top of mind in terms of fixing this team, because if you don't have the back of the house in order, then it's really difficult to, you know, to build momentum and take the game forward. It really is. And TFC were with 11 men, 11 against 10 for, 82 minutes or so? It was just incredible to watch. And I'll leave it at that.
Thank goodness for that. All of which has got nothing, absolutely nothing, to do with our next guest.
No.
Who's trying to build a career for himself, knocking him in at the other end.
Correct.
And so far, so good. Because he's played 2 MLS games for Toronto FC, and he scored 2 goals. And if he keeps going on at this rate, he's going to get a multi-million pound move to Europe somewhere very soon.
I'm sure he hopes that.
I'm sure he does too. Here is Perry Mirosevic. Let's see if we got it right, because we did say earlier in the show, Perry, welcome to the soccer show, by the way.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
It's our pleasure. Now, let's get this sorted out before we go any further. He says, Yerushi says it's Mirosevic. I said, couldn't it be Marosevic? So, we need it from the horse's mouth before we get into a conversation about soccer. How do you pronounce your surname?
Marosevic.
Marosevic. No, you weren't.
Well, we were
sort of halfway in between. Yeah. That wasn't really either of us.
Marosevic.
Okay.
Now we know Perry.
But Marosevic is how you...
Marosevic.
Listen.
I'm listening. One more time for us.
Marosevic.
There you go. Okay. I was pretty close there.
Not bad,
yeah.
Okay, should we talk soccer now?
Just a second. Kakosi Perry.
One more time for him.
Perry, Kakosi.
Dobro, Kakosi.
The rest of the show, the rest of the show will be in English, probably.
All right.
Okay, I got that off my chest.
Perry, welcome to Toronto. Excellent start statistically. You enjoying life? You must be, because you're playing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's always nice, you know, when you actually get to be on the pitch and play. I mean, it's obviously what any player wants is just to play in the games. And, you know, I've been able to come to Toronto and, you know, been welcomed greatly. And, you know, being able to play against Portland and then again against...
the other team. Yeah. Was it DC?
Against DC.
There you go. The games go by so fast. Talk a little bit about... perhaps what our last guest, Martin Rennie, was talking about confidence and having somebody wanting you on their team, you know, as part of that first team squad, and what it actually does to your game.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's huge. I mean, everybody will tell you that confidence is one of the biggest factors of, you know, performing well. It's just having that self-confidence in yourself and, you know, because, I mean... Everybody in the league is talented. Everybody, that's why they're in the league, you know. But it's the confidence that you have in yourself that allows you to, you know, play freely, without the stress or the mental block that you may have, you know. But you know, when I came in, you know, I was only with the team for a short amount of time and already stepping on the field against Portland, and it, you know, it just it makes you realize that, you know, the coaches have trust in you. And you know, when you have that trust from the coaches, you know, and it gives you the confidence to perform. And you know, I've been able to continue to build on that, and you know, continue for the confidence to grow, which is good. You know, obviously, like I, you know, I mean, confidence is a huge factor in anything.
Now, Perry, you've come to quite a situation here in Toronto, which is a great soccer town, and we can't seem to find the winning formula here. And yet, just like Ryan Johnson, I hear a lot of, you know, positive come out of your voice, almost to the effect that you actually like what you see with a lot of these changes. And we can't see it as fans. You can as a player. You're there every day. Tell everybody, tell our listeners what you do like about this new TFC team and the players that you're surrounded with.
Yeah, I mean, just seeing it in the locker room, just in, you know, hanging out with the guys, the attitude has changed. You know, it's you see more positivity. You know, everybody's positive. Everybody wants to work for one another, and you know, it shows in the training sessions. You know, everybody's working hard. Everybody's focused. And, you know, obviously the trainers do a good job of keeping us there, but obviously, you know, us as players do a great job of keeping us focused. You know, if you have, you know, one person telling you to do something, you know, but we got, you know, the whole team is being focused in training sessions and, you know, working hard. And it's just, you know, it's just little things that has changed. And the attitude is the biggest one. The attitude of willing to want to change and, you know, turn the season around and try to step it up and try to get as many points as we can. But I can tell you that the attitude has been, at least since I've arrived, it's been unbelievable.
Well, that's important. And we always talk about leadership. Are there some signs of new leadership in this new TFC squad? And if there are, where do they come from?
Yeah, I mean, you can see a guy, especially on the field with Torsten Frings.
Right.
On the field, the guy's a natural-born leader. I mean, you can just tell by his efforts on the field. That's one way to lead a team, is just by showing your effort. But he vocally as well. I mean, he understands the game so well. I mean, he's been, you know, obviously you guys know he played in World Cups and things like that. I mean, he has unbelievable experience that any player wants to have. And anybody, you know, that's surrounded by a player like that, you should listen to it. Because he knows what he's talking about. He's been there. He's done that. So, you know, you just got to, you know, listen to his comments and, you know, take everything in and learn and, you know, obviously as fast as possible. Obviously, I've been here only a short time, but, you know, trying to learn as fast as I can from him and, you know, other guys around. You know, obviously, Stefan Fry is another good leader on the team, very vocal in the back and just you know, he knows how to direct his defense and, you know, knows how to get us up before games. I mean, you know, just those two guys are just examples. I mean, you know, other guys have been stepping up as well. Just like, you know, Danny Coverman up top, you know, just by his experience and his level of play, you can learn so much.
Let's just put this in a little bit of context. This is now your third year in the league. You were drafted a high draft pick by FC Dallas, I think in 2009, which would make you a third-year professional. You didn't get too many chances in Dallas. Do you feel for you personally, Perry, this is almost an audition all over again, a second chance to prove yourself?
In a sense, yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, I didn't get as much time as I would like, you know, in Dallas, but, you know, the coaches have seen enough of me where, you know, I was able to show well, and, you know, for them to kind of take a chance on me, you know, to bring me to Toronto. So I've shown enough for them to do that. Obviously, I have to keep it up, and I started off, you know, being able to come in and impact, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to come in right away and try to help the team out as fast as I could, and you know, get an impact on the field. And obviously, you know, it's tough. You know, when a player doesn't play a lot, you kind of, like you said, you kind of have to re-audition. But that comes with anything. You know, even if you're hurt, when you come off an injury for a while or something like that, you have to be able to put yourself back on the field and try to impress. And that was my focus coming into Toronto, is not so much about what I did in the past, but what I can do now to change my situation and, you know, impress the coaches, show them what I can do, and hopefully get as much time as I can on the field.
That's the spirit. We look forward to you scoring every game you play for Toronto FC. No pressure, of course, Perry, and thank you for pronouncing your surname properly for us. Maybe Bob would like to say goodnight to you in another tongue.
Perry Lakonoch.
Lakonoch Ivama.
Okay, we're done.
Good night to you guys.
Perry, thanks so much. That's Perry Marosevic.
Yeah,
there we are. We got it right.
Nice kid. I hope he continues to
nice
score.
Nice attitude.
Yeah, good attitude.
Talking of good attitude, we'll leave you with a more of an upbeat sort of an email, which comes from Greg McDonald. Nigel and Bob, I've been listening to you guys since your show started.
Wow.
Greg, you've got way too much time on your hands. I love how your show has a Canadian perspective. The fan should acknowledge the quality programming that you two provide and give you a daily time slot. Keep it up, Greg. Greg, your check is in the post.
Yes.
It absolutely, I promise you that's an answer and a bit of a rebuttal to what Barbara said a little earlier on, but Barbara won't know that there's a rebuttal because
Barbara's entitled to her opinion. Now, maybe we are boring, Nigel.
You think?
Maybe.
Talk for yourself.
Well, my wife says I'm boring.
Yeah, so does mine.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that's a age thing. Maybe we get to an age where we just become boring and dull and
maybe
predictable and same old stuff time after time.
Say goodnight, Nigel.
It's Groundhog Day once again. I want to say thanks to Martin Rennie. I want to say thanks to Perry Miroshevich. I want to say thanks to the guys next door, to Dan, to Gord, and of course to Jennifer.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Jennifer. Don't forget, the cake. The cake has to be here next Thursday because it will be our fifth anniversary if we're still on the air. Unless, of course, we're too boring.
Never know.
He's Bobby Urushi. I'm Nigel Reed, so you don't have to be. Have a terrific week. Enjoy the weekend. See you soon.